Father God, we pray that you will open your word to our hearts by the power of your Spirit. We pray that you may equip us as your people. In your Son's name, amen. I chose that short section of Acts 22 to sort of give us a little bit of context. You may remember right at the beginning as we started this walk through Philippians, and by the way, have any of you actually sat down and read through the whole book in one go? Letter. How do you usually read a letter? We usually read it from start to finish. And so it's rather strange that we like to split it up into little bits. But there's a lot here to learn of what God wants to teach us as his people. And remember that Paul was writing to a Christian community, one that was in the land of the Gentiles, in the city of Philippi, which was a Roman settlement. And if you cast your minds back to when George started us off, you'd remember that. And you'd remember also that there were three people that she mentioned of coming to faith when Paul visited Philippi for the first time. You may remember the lady, Lydia, who was quite a rich woman. She traded in cloth, purple cloth, so it was an important commodity. But she was a believing person. She believed in God. And when she heard what Paul had to share about Jesus, it changed her mind. It changed her completely. And then that wonderful story of that young girl who was being used by people to tell the future. And Paul was able to bring her from that and show her a new life and give her new life in Jesus. And then possibly a very striking one, the Roman guard, who was about to kill himself because he thought Paul and Silas and the others had escaped. But no, they hadn't. And these probably were the key members of this church community in Philippi. We're not told, but it is very possible. So really, they're very much all ordinary people. People like you and I. And Paul had a message for them. And it's wonderful. As you read through, and I'm going to just go through to Acts briefly, the number of times that Paul gives his defence, he tells them, these are my credentials. This is what I could be, and I'm a follower of God. I'm a believer in Jehovah God, the Lord. I'm a Pharisee. I've had the best teachers. And I'm really okay. However, I did go after the people of the way, because I thought that they were leading people astray from the truth. Until Paul had that Damascus Road experience, which changed him completely. He met with a man called Ananias, who opened his eyes to the truth. Jesus, the Messiah. And so it's no surprise that here in Philippians that he reiterates some of those things. Although the first verse of chapter 3, some people think should have been on the end of the previous chapter. That's one of the problems with chapters and verses. They weren't designed to split up things logically necessarily, but they were good reference points. But it's a wonderful verse, because he says, be joyful in your union with the Lord. I don't mind repeating what I've written before, and you'll be safer if I do so. So an interesting turn of phrase, you'll be safer if I do. And what's he talking about? Is he talking about our personal safety? You know, health and safety gone wrong. I believe not. He's talking about our relationship with the Father. and that the Father wants us to be in a true relationship with him. And I was struck, again, a slight aside, I received this week the Bible Society's Word in Action, which was very much focusing on sharing the Word of God with those who live in extreme circumstances. Our Christian brothers and sisters who live in countries where Islam is the great majority. You know, 99% of the people around you are Muslim, and many of them are trying to do away with you. A bit like the early Christians found from with the religious people of the day. Because after all, what was Saul? He was a Pharisee, and he said some quite strong things. You know, he threw people in jail, even leading to their death. And yet he changed completely. Because, do you see in that verse 2, staggering, he doesn't mince his words, no PC with Paul. Watch out for those who do evil things, those dogs, those men who cut the flesh. No gloves on. Is that how we talk about people who are prepared to lead God's people away from the truth? But of course, this is a letter that Paul was writing to the Philippian Christians, and he wanted to make sure that they actually sat up and took note. This is important. Beware. There's a warning. And then he leads on to say that, look, this is my history. This is where I came from. He says, though, that he follows Jesus. He's the true circumcision. This is the mark of being in faith with God for a new life. He says, we don't put our trust as Christians in the ceremonies of the of our history, of what we used to do. Because Paul says, I have more reason to feel that I'm okay because, well, I was circumcised, a member of God's people, on the eighth day, which was important. He was an Israelite by birth. He was even of the tribe of Benjamin, a pure-blooded Hebrew. So he had the right credentials of background, of history. And then he comes on to say, well, I'm also a keeper of the Jewish law, a Pharisee. And as the passage in Acts reminded us, he was at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the main Jewish teachers at the time. So he was well-founded. He had great credentials. And he was zealous. He was zealous in keeping the law. And he persecuted the people of the way. So he's saying, as far as anyone can, I, as a Jew, a Hebrew, with that background, that history, a follower of the law, it's okay. I believe that I was all right in communion with God. I could be made righteous in that way. But of course, we know that that's not true. And Paul knew that too. Because he realised that he had got things wrong. He couldn't base his life and his righteousness being made right with God on his history, his background, his beliefs, his zealousness, his following of the law. Because as he writes elsewhere, The wages of sin is death. The law condemns us. And what did Jesus say? I have come not to condemn you, but to give you life. And this is what Paul was reminding the Philippians, that there's something new that God's way had developed through Jesus. What are you prepared to give up for your faith? I was very much reminded at these verses, reminded me of what Jesus said in some of the parables of the kingdom. Do you remember he said, the man who found a pearl, he sold everything that he had so he could go and buy this one perfect pearl. And in another one, Jesus said the man had this field and he was digging, probably the equivalent of, I forget now what you call them, people with the metal detectors. No, I was thinking detectorists, that's it, detectorists. You know, going around the fields. Well, this guy had done that and he found a box of treasure. So what did he do? Put it back and went off, sold everything he had so he could buy the field so it could be legitimate. His treasure, you know, finders, keepers. But he was prepared to give up everything to buy that one treasure. What are we prepared to give up to find faith in Jesus? The world tells us all sorts of things about how we can be successful. Money, possessions, careers, all sorts of things. But how many people do we know who've actually been challenged and given up all that? The other week I discovered that there's a person working in a Christian organisation who had given up something very big. He had actually been one of the directors in Barclays Bank, one of the big ones. And he'd given that up. He had been challenged, and he gave it up for the sake of the gospel. And I think you can see through Christian history, there have been people who have been prepared to give up everything to follow Jesus. And this is what Paul is saying here. Because as far as the commands, the law of God, Paul says, I was without fault. Quite a bold statement, that, actually. I don't think I could stand in front of you and saying, I am without fault. I am with fault. And so the only way I can come to Jesus is through him. But Paul writes, but all those things that I might count as profit, I now reckon as loss. The bookkeeper in Paul must be. Profit, loss, account. What can we profit? There's nothing that I can bring to the table. It's only God who can give things to the table. So he's saying that the greatest thing that I ever did was to acknowledge Jesus as Messiah. It's the only way to know God. This is the true gospel. It's more valuable than anything. And that's why I mentioned that this edition of Word and Action, because it focuses on people who have nothing. They even have to keep their faith secret. But they still share it. It's rather interesting. In one of them it says that the man had a Bible and it was taken from him, and the person who took it tore the pages and pasted them on the wall. What a good way to display the Word of God. Because that's what happened. People read the Word of God. And the Word of God is powerful. Much beyond we can ever imagine. And people came to faith through reading just the odd verses of Scripture. That's fantastic. How much do we value the Word of God as seen in Jesus? For after all, when you read John's Gospel, you hear those words, don't you? The Word made flesh. Jesus, God incarnate, made flesh. To be there for us. So it's the most valuable thing. And Paul says, for his sake, I have thrown everything away. Consider it all as mere refuse, it says in this particular translation, so that I may gain Christ. What are we prepared to give up for the sake of the gospel, of sharing the gospel of Christ with those around us? Maybe something very small, maybe something very big. Sometimes they're things which are good in themselves. But it's a challenge for each one of us to think, what is God calling us to give up for the sake of the gospel? Maybe ideas, maybe thoughts, it may be our dependence on our history, on our background. Oh, I must be a Christian because I was born in England. I'm British, so that makes me a Christian. That's what many people think. You know, if people are asked in hospital to write in their religion, what's the... Oh, I don't know. What do they do? Writing Christian or Church of England. But we can't depend on our history. We can't depend on ourselves to find the true relationship with our Heavenly Father. It is only through Christ who makes us right with the Father. And that's why later, when we come around the table, we remember Jesus' death and resurrection. Because that's important to Paul, the resurrection. Because that's what he brings up at the end of this passage. All I want is to know Christ and to experience the power of his resurrection. To share in his sufferings. And there's a key. That's frightening. We're called. Suffering is part of it. And become like him in his death, in the hope that I myself will be raised from death to life. So Paul was encouraging these Philippian Christians to see beyond this life and look to the future, to the new life, which, yes, starts now when you give your life to Jesus, to say, yes, I want to go your way. I give up myself so I can accept your death and resurrection for myself. And that's what Paul looked forward to. A new life, being raised to life. It's a challenge. And that's why it's a journey for all of us. And I'm going to be naughty because I'm going to pinch the verse in the next bit of the letter. Because you can't take it completely out of context. Because we may think, oh, well, Paul's got it all sewn up. But no, he says in verse 12, I do not claim that I have already succeeded or have already become perfect. I keep striving to win the prize for which Christ Jesus has already won me to himself. So Paul, we may put on a pedestal, But he didn't put himself on a pedestal. The only person he put on the pedestal was Jesus. He was not perfect. But the Christian life is a pilgrimage. And we only become perfect when we go through to eternal life with him. Which is a challenge. Because how do we keep faith? How do we keep going? And it's so vital that we come together as his people to worship our Heavenly Father together, to pray together, to read together, to fellowship together. Because then we can receive as individuals and as a body of believers his Holy Spirit. And as you read through Acts, the number of times that Paul was challenged when he realized that it wasn't just Jewish people who were given the new life, the Holy Spirit, but us too, Gentiles. The gospel is for all. Let us pray that God can show us as individuals and as a community, how we can share the good news of the gospel of Jesus to bring hope and new life to those we meet day by day. In his name, amen.